Going through the car wash today, Sean Roberts' foodie adventures.
I've had turtle curry.
Turtle curry?
When I lived in Cayman Islands. Tastes like chicken, man.
Every time.
Why everything that is so weird it always tastes like chicken?
Tastes like chicken.
We remember Ronaldinho's best qualities.
Ronaldinho is hitting rainbow flicks every week.
Yeah. Yeah. New control with his back.
Yeah, just bah. You know what I mean?
And he wasn't doing that with a smile. That's how he is. Mm. It's not like he chose to smile. He just said he's got big teeth. But that's not the point.
And Deco Modise tries to steal my girlfriend.
Who's that? She sounds very beautiful. Who is?
Yeah, that's my girlfriend Zizi.
Deco.
Oh, I can't say she's beautiful.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a Hlangana Khona.
Welcome to the car wash. This is episode 13 on today's show. No one says no to Gaston, Micho's new gig, and Deco and Sean named their top five PSL players. I am your host, Slu Paho. And I'm not alone in studio. I am joined by the one, the only, Sean Roberts.
Slu Dog, what an intro. Thank you, brother.
How are you doing today?
Magic, magic, magic. As always.
Yeah, yeah. And Deco,
what's
recovering
up
from the weekend. How are you doing?
I'm recovered, comrade.
Fully recovered.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, indeed. Let's get right into it. Micho has a new job.
Damn.
He is now the head coach of the Zambia national team.
Chipolo Polo. You don't know how they call that?
Chipolo Polo.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's like what they call Bafana Bafana.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which means what?
Chipolo Polo.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you're saying something, and you have nothing to back it?
I'm saying, do you know that Zambia national team is called Chipolo Polo?
No.
Thank you. Let's
I do
move
not
on.
Oh, thank you,
it's Chipolo Polo.
If we've got any Zambian
listeners. In other words, you should never have left
they know
Pirates.
I mean, yeah.
That's a job for me.
Right.
It's the Zambia national team.
It's not actually.
It's an interesting one. It's an interesting
one. It's a desperate one, in my opinion.
Zambia are struggling. They're bottom of their AFCON qualifying group after two matches. So a new head coach, it's an interesting hire, I'd say. I mean, we still have to talk about why Micho left Zamalek in the first place.
Or why he got fired.
Yeah, why he got fired.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's strange. I mean, he lost four of his 12 matches, won seven. Won the, I mean, he had nothing really to do with the Egypt Cup win because he had just been hired. But it's a strange, the past year for Micho has been weird. Like really, really weird.
I think so. I don't know what you think, Teko, but I just think it's a, from a coaching point of view, I think it's a desperate one from my side.
Mm.
I think he needed a job and he went for it. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And I think for Zambia itself, it's a smart move for them. You know,
sure.
Getting in that experienced coach, and it might actually ignite the players, maybe mentality, you know, that's this Micho has achieved this and this and that. And also they've got ambitions also to qualify for the World Cup as well. So it might actually help, but also, hey man, they have to pay the guy.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and that also comes back to how are they actually going to structure the bonuses for the players as well. So I'm sure the players will question that as well. Because if they're throwing numbers in the media about how much they're going to pay him, raise questions to the players as well.
Yeah,
yeah, but like you said, I think for Micho, I think as young as Micho is, to coach a national team, it's a waste because you want that challenge that you're going to go to training every single day, every weekend there's a game. Like you said, I'm sure he was like, I couldn't wait for any longer. I need to find something to do. Because the fact is, if Zambia are not going to qualify, I'm sure they're going to let him go.
No, absolutely.
You know, so now you're going to find Micho in 2 years actually like coach, I don't know, so many teams and including
It's not good
Zambia.
For the CV, is it?
It's not. Yeah. I think it's not a smart move for him. I think he could have just waited a bit. I mean, a couple of months down the line, season is finished. Teams are going to be actually looking for coaches. And
100%.
He's one of the coaches that everybody wants him to come back into the country as well. So.
Correct. Mm.
So we'll see. I just hope that Zambia knows exactly what they're doing and it might actually help. Because I promise you know there's so many good players in Zambia, Chief.
100%. Yeah.
So many good players. It's just that, I don't know, since after winning that AFCON 19, my babo, they've never been the same.
I love Teko's statistics. Eh? He's
right
up there with the best.
Yeah, but they won AFCON, you know, when they played Cote d'Ivoire in the final, when Drogba missed the penalty and all that stuff. After that, they've never been the same. I think it was because I remember that squad very well. That's the same squad that we played against when it was just introduced, actually, sorry.
Get that man a coffee.
When I was introduced to Bafana Bafana setup,
yeah.
It was the same team. So yeah. They built from that. They had the same team for so long. So when they won, I wasn't surprised at all. But I don't think they had a backup plan because of the age average.
There's no players feeding through.
Exactly. Yeah. So now that's why they have to start afresh. And for Zambia to actually be in that position is a shame because of the quality that they have.
So maybe there's more that meets the eye here. Maybe it's Michu long term. Maybe this is a 10-year plan. I don't know.
Maybe he'll be like, who's the German national team coach who's just been around since forever?
Joachim Löw.
The one you can't even shake his hand.
Yeah, he picks his nose.
Yeah, and plays with his balls.
He smelt his remember?
Yeah.
We've all done that, eh?
Yeah. Just on camera.
No black people do that. Please, don't enter us into that thing.
Fun fact, by the way, there's, I think, three Pirates players who are Zambian who could potentially be reunited with Mitro. I think Shonga is Zambian.
Yeah, I saw that in the
Malenga as well.
Yeah, there's a couple. Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
So it should be interesting. Guys, yesterday, you know, I spoke to a legendary guy. Guys. Like, we're going to do memories from the Masters. And I spoke to Roger Fitumba, and I asked him who's his best opponent.
Biggest
rival, you know, and here's what he had to say. Now, you played during one of the greatest eras of football in this country. Who was the player who you would consider the greatest that you've ever played against in South Africa?
So I always say Dota. Dota, because he was equally knowledgeable when it comes to football like I was. It was always difficult to play against him because you play against a player who can equally team like you. So, yeah, Dota was one of the players who was giving me, if you want to put it that way, hard time.
What an interesting conversation I had with him. Listeners who want, you can check out the big interview. But yeah, I was too young to be able to get the chance to see those battles. But I'm sure you guys got to witness the greatness of Roger Fitumba.
Because I was too young.
Roger.
A young warthog.
If I was a young warthog.
Yes.
What I like about Roger Fitumba is he gives credit where it's due. Like, he's not one of those bitter players that will always speak bad about the players that he played against. You know, I also had an opportunity to have a conversation with him when I was still playing at Sundowns, you know, because I felt like that number 10 jersey was supposed to be justified at some point, you know, and he actually told me that actually after him, I probably may be the first player that he actually enjoys watching play wearing that number.
Who was after him, straight after him? Do you remember?
There was a lot, dude. I remember there was Thando Mngomeni at some point. There was Papi Zotuan at some point. There's been a lot. Mm. I don't remember that well.
By the way, been a lot. He was the general before you were the general.
Yeah.
The original general.
Yeah. So having that kind of conversation with him, it actually...
So Teko's a fake general?
No, I'm the navigator. I don't know where this general comes from. Yes, yes. Let me correct you, comrade. So it was kind of great to actually have... such conversations with the legends of the game, because now they open your eyes, actually. And he wasn't just speaking of Sundowns, he was just speaking football. And I like having such conversations with people that actually play the game. So that's why I'm saying, I know that he gives credit where it's due. For him to say, Dr. Kumalo, we know, we watched those games, you know, and Roger was the Roger, you know, the left footer. We always used to, but I felt like at that time when he was playing that Sundowns, Rothman's Cup was their cup.
Yeah.
Forget, they all might play not good in the league, but the Rothman's Cup from nowhere. Rafael Chuku now becomes the top coach. But it was so nice watching Sundowns play that time.
Rafael Chuku.
And that was basically the beginning of Sundowns' dominance when he arrived, because he came in 97 and then they won 3 in a row. That's according to kickoff.com.
Wait, what year did Patrice take over? Was it early 2000s?
Yeah, I think it's early 2000s.
Yeah. So sort of a couple of years after that.
After that.
So they've been dominating for a good while, hey?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very, very solid. So next in the news, we have Gaston Sereno.
No one says no to Gaston.
No one says no.
I love that.
Dean Furman doesn't say no. Clayton Daniels doesn't say no. Catch a slap from Gaston Sereno.
Oh, man.
So now, you know, the prosecutor, maybe by the time this episode goes up, he'll have made his decision.
Sure.
Nande Becker, who famously gave Mpumakola 6 months, then they got that overturned. But I wanted to ask this question because he slapped two different players. Do you treat that as one instance or do you treat it as two?
That's got to be one.
It's got to be one?
It's got to be one.
It's got to be one, yeah.
It's got to be one.
But say he slapped two players in two different matches. Is it then two different instances or
sure.
do you punish
sure.
them once?
Then it's two.
Sure, there's two.
Then it's two. Slew, you're asking...
Come on.
Come on.
But I mean, okay, he slaps one player. How many matches do you ban him for?
Well, it's got to be similar to McCullough's incident, wasn't it? Was it four matches?
Yeah, it's four matches. Assault, it's four matches.
Four matches. So now two different players, is it still four matches? Or is
same
it
game. Because I think they take it as the same case because it's within the same game. Now you have to be punished for, you can't be punished for two.
It's not like Clayton Daniels for not retaliating either.
Exactly.
He's done all there.
But I mean, yeah, Clayton's
pick
got
your battles.
He talked to the media, I remember, afterwards, and he was like, he basically said like Serena's a little boy, like his reactions.
I've played with Clayton, yeah. I can understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, another interesting thing, by the way, cited Nurkovic saying he saw Nurkovic kick a player in some game and said that Serena should get a lenient sentence. Mm. But another interesting one, because Serena hasn't played for Uruguay, his native country, and he's apparently going to apply for citizenship, Pizzo rates Bafana should consider calling up Gaston Serena.
No one says no to Gaston.
You're very foolish.
Sure, that's a biggie, hey? I didn't know, has he been here that long already?
Well, if he applies for citizenship, he hasn't played for any other national team, so he would qualify.
Well, he's certainly good enough in my eyes. Whether it will go down well in the football fraternity? It's another big word, eh?
Mm. English can choke you,
I see Teko shaking his head there.
Can choke you, English can choke you.
I need to read more. What do you think of that, Tex? I mean, it's... I can't see it happening.
It's for me, it's just that we've got too many Serenos in the country. You know, not taking anything away from the talented boy, but I think we've got equally... good players. You still have your Zwanis, we still have Manyama. There's so much. You still have Mbuli that is coming up. I think we've got so much. If Serena was probably maybe a striker that is banging in goals,
we'd be like,
yeah, it's a different story. Yeah. But now he's an attacking midfielder. How many attacking midfielders we have in the country? We produce probably 10 a season.
Yeah, we're saturating that department.
Yeah, yeah. So I think if it happens, it'll be great. Maybe it'll start off, you know, something great going forward. Mm. But for me, it's not a position that we're lacking in the national team.
Good point.
So I don't think it's
a necessity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But of course, it's a conversation that we can have or Safa maybe might look into. But in all fairness, if you're actually going to play Serena with the lineup that we have, you still have Tulane Serrero, Zungu, Dolly.
But also, you know, having said that, Serena is not the best behaved guy, is he?
Yeah.
And would you want someone like that representing your country?
Yeah, would he be the right guy in the camp?
Do you know what I'm saying?
An interesting idea, though, is foreign nationals coming here and being able to play. You mentioned the need for a striker. Nurkovic hasn't played for any national team.
Exactly.
There we are. Now you're talking.
Yeah. Now you see.
That's
now
a conversation.
Exactly. That's a conversation.
Because Slew is actually speaking sense.
Yeah.
For once. This doesn't happen often, guys.
I mean, this is the guy that we're dealing with, the issues of discipline. Every season he gets a red card, something like that. I mean, we understand he plays the game with a passion and he gets irritated very quickly. And it's easy to irritate him. If I had to play against him, I'll do the same thing just to get him off the game.
You know what buttons to push.
Exactly. But that doesn't take away from his talent. Like, he's very, very talented.
Absolutely.
And but he just did as a proud South African, I don't think we need Serena. Mm.
Yeah.
I really don't think we need Serena. Nurkovic, yes, most definitely. Because that's a department that we've been struggling ever since Katlego Mpela. You know? But as a midfielder, I think we're going to deny opportunities for so many young boys.
Yeah, yeah.
And good I think point.
Good point on what's needed mostly. I think, you know, Bafana, we talk about their defense. It always feels a little shaky. Midfield, though, we've got so many options.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Pizzo's kind of just backing his guy.
Oh, that's his job.
That's his job. He has to do what he has to do.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
So I managed to get Gerald Piri on for 10 quick fire questions. 10 quick fire is where we get your favorite PSL players, get them on the line, and put them on the spot.
Yeah, I'm Gerald Peary. I play for Baroque, and these are my 10 quick fire questions.
Funniest guy in the PSL that you have played with?
Gabadinho Muhango.
Who is the flashiest dresser?
Gabadinho Muhango. You always like style, that guy.
Who is the worst dressed?
I don't know.
Come on, there's no one that you want to roast.
Who's the worst dressed? Denwin Farmer.
What is the worst mistake that you've made in a match?
In a match, give a ball away and then end it in a goal.
Who is a teammate who thinks that he's funny but actually isn't?
Goodman Moseley.
What is your fondest footballing memory?
Scoring for the national team to qualify for the World Cup group stages. They are qualifying group stages.
Do you remember who it was against?
Against Botswana recently.
And then what is your favorite car?
Mercedes-Benz.
Would it happen to be the one that you drive, or is it a different model?
A different one of the new ones. Yeah, nice.
And then what is your favorite local food? I think you can do favorite Malawian dish and then favorite South African dish.
I'm not really fond of South African food, but yeah, I think my mom's got curry with rice, Malawian rice also. I actually have Malawian rice here.
Are you able to find Malawian restaurants in South Africa?
Yeah, especially in Joburg.
And then last but not least, what is your favorite holiday destination?
Malawi, Lake Malawi. Oh, it's so beautiful.
So he's repping Malawi hard.
Hey, dude.
It's a beautiful country. Yeah, I don't blame him.
He's like, I don't even like South African cuisine.
Get out of here, boy.
Give me Malawian rice. I'm good.
Yeah. Throw that pop and scrap with, take that. Goat curry does sound... I still haven't tried goat curry. I've had goat curry.
I've had turtle curry.
Turtle curry?
When I lived in Cayman Islands. And tastes like chicken, man.
Every time,
why everything
weird...
that is so weird it always tastes like chicken?
Like crocodile tastes like chicken.
I can agree with that.
Thank you.
I've had crocodile before.
Yeah, crocodile is nice.
Crocodile's nice. When did you have crocodile?
Dude, in Joburg.
Where?
There's a place called Carnivore.
Yeah, it's Mulder.
My mom has told me about Carnivore. They bring you the cuts. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, yeah. Since you're celebrating your anniversary, take your woman there.
Yeah, I gotta.
I just gotta rep them. Their slogan is crocodile, the other white meat.
Ooh.
Nice. Should have saved that for joke of the day.
Speaking of joke of the day, instead of throwing it at the end of the show, let's just throw it right here.
No pressure, Sean.
Right. Where do football directors go when they are fed up? The boardroom.
Oh,
no.
Guys, talk to me.
That was actually smart.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
Thank you.
I like it. I like it.
I hated it.
I was so excited for a good one.
Simon laughed. Simon had a good chuckle. If Simon chuckles, you know, Teko's laughing like it's the first joke he's heard. Thank you, Teko. I'll take that one.
Oh, no. Well... We've got a big money or a potential big money move in the papers. According to the CS Special, 10 million rand is the price tag slapped on Richard Ofori.
Mm. Splash.
And there's three teams in the running. Of course, it's the big three always.
Mm. Yeah, look, me and Teko have spoken about this before. I think Chief should have gone in beginning of the season.
Yeah.
That was the time to do it.
Yeah. Mm.
I still think he's a chief sort of goalkeeper. He would definitely fit into Pirates as well. Sundowns have goalkeepers. I know they're saying that they've got Dennis who's aging, Kennedy's aging. They've got Riyad, who's only 27.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Dennis Onyango's got 3-4 years left in him. He's an absolute beast, you know.
Yeah.
If for me, I think Chiefs have offered Kunia now another 2 years, as I believe. I think Daniel Akpai is doing a great job, but long term he will be back up.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kune will reclaim his number one spot. I believe that. If he's going to go anywhere, in my opinion, it'll be Pirates.
Yeah.
Is he worth 10 million? That's another question altogether.
Is it
so.
10 million rands or kwachas? Just a question.
10 million rand. And apparently the reason why they slapped that price tag is because, according to the paper, a Belgian club offered for him.
Fair enough. So
they slapped a huge price tag. Because as soon as Europe comes calling, then you up the fee.
Yeah. But it's just that also, it's kind of shocking because now
you base your selling player because somebody else wants them, and then there's no clause in the contract that has a buying out clause. Mm. I think players need to understand you need to have your buying out clause. It makes things easy if you want to move.
Mm.
But also coming back to him, I think the better move for him, if he goes to Sundowns or Chiefs, he's going to struggle playing.
I agree.
And now he's a number one goalkeeper in Ghana, and they want to qualify for the World Cup. Everybody wants to see themselves playing there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, if he has to go to Pirates, no disrespect to Wayne Sunderland, but he will be the first choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very, very solid. I mean, being solid at Maritzburg for so long, with the line of Pirates, it'll make things easier for him, because now it'll give him that...
That is the next step for him, I think. As a big international keeper, I think Maritzburg is... Look, he's been given the opportunity to shine at Maritzburg, which is what usually happens with a smaller team.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the next step. Is he good enough for Europe? Possibly. He's a unit. Yeah. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
He's a good goalkeeper. If he was to stay in South Africa, without a doubt, Pirates is the team.
Pirates is the team. Yeah.
And they have the right connections. According to the paper, chairman, Irvin Khoza, and the Maritzburg chairman are good mates.
Yeah. There's been a lot of business done there in the past.
Links with Fadlu Davids.
Kateringa as well went from...
Makaringa. Who's Katarina? Hey, Makarina, Makarina. Hey, Makarina.
But you know fraternity, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting one. I think I agree with you guys. Pirates seems like... It also seems like because of those relationships, Pirates might be able to lower the fee there. Because obviously Pirates doesn't have pockets like Sundowns. Mm. So, you know, they might be able to negotiate a little easier there.
Absolutely, yeah.
But looking back at this past January... Let's take a look at some of the best signings in the window. Who do you guys think did the window to the wall?
Yeah. You know what? Nothing really catches my eye here. You know, I think Gordinho to Wits, great signing for Wits.
Yeah,
we discussed last week. Where is he actually going to play? Time will tell. You know, Scotty to Stellenbosch, Karu to Stellenbosch, Zungu to Pirates from Stellenbosch. You know. Yeah. Yeah, but nothing really that says, wow, what a signing. I think those are more for June, July sort of transfer windows, to be honest.
Yeah, true. I think also for me, it's just that. I don't think there's like a big, big signing that happened. But just that one of those interesting moves, like Musa Nyatama, I never saw it coming. Like it's an interesting move, and especially going to Highlands Park.
Mm.
So now it actually gives you a different look as to what Highlands Park are trying to do.
Mm.
Are they going to try and play differently to how they've been playing, and if so, how are they going to be able to play Yeye and Musa Nyatama at the same time?
Mm.
Are they going to be a backup of each other because of the age? So it's kind of interesting to actually see actually what is it that they're trying to do, and especially at this time of the season, for me it's very confusing because I'm not sure what they're trying to do, because we all know how Highlands Park are playing.
Sure. Just
park whatever the bus
and
that
run
they
you
park,
off the field,
then,
yeah.
Then they have to run you out, and Musa Nyatama is... Let's play. You know, I'll start the game. Let's play. Do they have the players at Highlands Park at the back to actually start the play and give Musa Nyatama the ball?
Yeah.
Mm. They don't have. So how is Musa Nyatama going to play? Musa Nyatama doesn't even have a long pass.
Mm. Mm.
So now it's kind of tricky, and it will be very, very interesting to see. And also with the rumors that the coach is going, are they building for next season with a new coach? Or are they going
to
try and continue with Owen? Because we all know Owen has been coaching in the PSL for the longest time.
Mm.
And we all know all these teams that he coaches, they play the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way that he can change right now and be the new Owen now. Let me introduce... Diamond in the midfield, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So for Musa Nyatama, it will be very, very interesting. It'll be. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it's going to work out. Actually,
time will tell. And I mean, you mentioned Nkanyiso Zungu to Pirates from Stellenbosch, highly rated. Jomo Sono recently compared him to both Ernest Chirwali and Roger Fatumba, which is high praise. Mm. In his performances for Stellenbosch FC, obviously. You know, compared to the level of play for Pirates now, how difficult do you think it's going to be for him to make that starting 11?
It's going to be difficult, but
Sean,
can I finish?
He won't.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Teko. I appreciate that. Thank you. I think having seen him at Stellenbosch, and Stellenbosch, with all due respect, are poor.
Mm.
He did stand out. Whether or not he can stand out like that at Pirates is a whole other story altogether. Mm. If he is to make the starting lineup at any point, it's going to be tough.
Mm.
It's going to be it's an interesting signing.
Yeah,
put it that way. What were you going to say, Turco, before you really interrupted me?
He won't even make a starting lineup, and it will be very, very actually difficult to actually to make 11.
Mm.
Not even 11, 18.
Yeah. Mm.
The reason is that they still have Mlambo, and who is a quality player, quality big midfielder. Time. Big, big time. Mm. And big games to show up.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And to play at Stellenbosch, like you say, it's easy for to be recognized because there's not so much quality within the team. Now you're having to compete with so much quality every single day. So now, is he a kind of player that can give us more than what he was giving Stellenbosch? I doubt. Because now at Pirates, they require you to play, you know, at a certain level every single week.
Mm.
If you don't know, go ask Lodge how tough it is to play the same way every week. We've seen a lot of, we've seen players coming into Orlando Pirates and disappearing. We've seen so many players, very talented players.
Mm.
Of course, it's a big team. When they call, of course, you want to go in there, I mean, and have your Orlando Pirates jersey. I mean, everybody wants to play for big teams. But the reality is he going to play? Because it's Stellenbosch he was playing week in, week out. Mm. If I was him, I was going to sign a pre-contract, leave at the end of the season where I have an opportunity to impress during pre-season. Because now you're going to get there. You know what they're going to do? We'll get him there 2 weeks' time. We're playing a smaller Yana team. We're very comfortable. They throw him in. He's going to come there with those passes. He's a good passer of the ball. And then the crowd are going to love him. And then when the big games come, because you look at the Pirates games that they're going to play, those are very, very big games.
Sure.
They're playing Vets. They're playing Sundowns. They're playing Chiefs. Those are very, very big games. So now he's not a player that actually put, you cannot put him before you put Mlambo in. You know what I'm saying? But it just, it's whether it's a signing that will help next season or the signing that will help now, it's very, very, very
disturbing. And also, if it does make the starting 11, can he handle the pressure? Do you know what I'm saying? You've been there. I mean, Pirates is no Stellenbosch. It's a whole different kettle of fish
altogether.
Especially
with the form that they've been on now. It's he has to come in and hold the same level.
Exactly.
He's got to better the level.
Yeah.
That's why they signed him.
Yeah.
You're not going to sign a player who's just as good as what you have.
Yeah.
You're going to sign a player who's better.
Yeah.
Someone who can.
And that's like the question. Is he better than what they have?
For me, I don't have any problem with Zunga. I think he's a very talented player. But I strongly, he still needs to prove me wrong.
Mm.
I strongly believe that he's not better than what Pirates have with Mlambo. Who's that other boy that normally comes in as a sub? Now he's forever on the bench. Mlambo is no longer now in the coach's plan. There was this other boy that played for Cosmos and cheaper. Mtambo.
Mtambo.
Yeah, Mtambo. He's not. And you still have Ben Mutswari. You still have Makarenge. That gives you so much. And so for me to actually be part of that, but of course he's a different player when you actually look at him the way he plays. I just wish that if he gets there, he must remember what took him to actually get to London Pirates. If he forgets that, then he's just going to disappear. We'll see him at Chippa United next season or at the ABC Motsepe Cup.
Unless there are players leaving next transfer window.
Most definitely. Orlando Pirates always said every season.
So then there could be an opportunity. But yeah, interesting space. Looking forward to seeing what happens.
Yeah, and he's 24. Still got some time.
Of course.
You know, going the other way, or not the other way, but leaving Pirates on loan, Justice Shabalala. Interesting one going to Celtic, because Celtic was where Godinho was. Mm. And it kind of looks like maybe this is a last chance for Justice to prove that he has the chops to be in the starting 11.
Mm.
But I don't know if Pirates take him back or sell him in the summer. Another interesting one, especially because of the Nedbank Cup recently, Gamaldin for Chippa United. Goal and an assist in the Nedbank Cup for Chippa United, your favorite.
Yeah, my favorite team in the entire world. I mean, it's great. But yeah, I mean, we watched him against Pirates, and he came on, I think, after X amount of minutes, and he changed the game.
Mm.
Like, and I think he scored a brace now in the Nedbank Cup. I can't remember if he scored one or two.
Goal and an assist.
Yeah, and he scored 11 goals for Steenbergers on loan there. So he's on form.
Yeah.
Well done on Chippa to get them back, get him back. And unfortunately, but Chippa seem to be on a little roll. They're actually playing, I hate to say this, but decent football.
Yeah.
For the PSL standards, I'm saying. Yeah.
And it's hilarious to think that's the Nedbank Cup champions that they just knocked out. TS Galaxy, already gone.
TS who?
Samsung Galaxy.
Yeah.
And then another one that I wanted to ask you guys about, Nathan Sincala to Stellenbosch from TP Mazembe. Two-time CAF Champions League winner, 29 years old.
Hmm.
What do you think of that one? I mean, Stellenbosch look like they're, you know, they're at least they're already replacing Zungu.
Yeah. Well, they need experience.
Yeah.
They need that balance. They've got a couple of young players. They have got a lot of older players. No disrespect to them. But they need... What they do lack is leadership.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping this guy brings... Because I want Stellenbosch to stay up.
Yeah.
I like Steve Barker. I like what he's doing. And for us to have another Cape Town team here is amazing.
Yeah.
And I hope he brings that, what Stellenbosch really do need.
Definitely.
Of course. It's, especially with the experience that he has. I mean, playing in that Champions League, it's very, very different than when you come here. Yeah. I think he'll bring that brightness, especially in the midfield, you know, that leadership that you speak about. Because I think that it'll be great for Cape Town to have Stellenbosch within the league, you know. But also, it's you look at the team itself. You look at... where we're going to get goals. You know, I thought Stellenbosch would be like, we want like a tall striker somewhere, you know.
100%.
Nathan Poles, the type of a player to bring, because that's how they play. They play with crosses.
Yeah.
You know, but you could, at least for the fact that they see that they need to, you know, sign players to actually try and help the team, it really says to them that they realize that, you know, coming in with those players that they had at NFD, it's not going to cut it.
100%.
So we need to have experience. While they have experience, while they survive and then come next season, they need to have younger players that are actually good and then build for the future.
Definitely.
Correct.
Up next, we have pole position. Pole position is where we ask our listeners on Facebook a topical question of the week. This time around, we asked who will win the PSL Footballer of the Season award come May. And this is what they had to say.
I'll go for Cardozo.
Mango.
Kokota Piano.
Tambazwani. Some interesting thoughts there. Lebohang Manyama. A clear front runner there, I'd say, from the poll. But from there, let's go into Deco and Sean, your top five PSL players.
Yeah, I'll start with mine. I'm going to go Nurkovic.
Number five.
Actually, I haven't put a number on it. But I mean, let's just go to the five and I'll tell you why. Nurkovic, I think, just what he's brought this season, unbelievable. Mango for Pirates. He said he's going to score 15 goals in public. He's on 14. He's got to be there.
Yep.
I put Daniel Lakpai because as a goalkeeper, he got a lot of stick in the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
To bounce back the way he's done in a massive team like Chiefs, he deserves to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dile Jali, I've got him there because he surprised us all. I still believe he's a bit of a ticking time bomb in terms of what could possibly happen outside of football. And possibly a surprise one, but Rushin Derek, the centre-back for Maritzburg, I think he's been phenomenal for them. So that is my top five in no specific order. Those are my five players.
Interesting.
And I've got my extra two there. Can I throw in there? So I've got Ntuli for AmaZulu.
You've got white privileges, so go on.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I've got Ntuli for AmaZulu because he scored so many goals for a team.
Yep.
And Manyama, I've got as well.
I was about to say, no mention of Lebo Manyama there. And Deco, your top five.
There's Nukovic.
Mm-hmm.
There's Amango.
Just check, and is he making it up or?
And there's Memela.
I think I see a list there.
Memela.
Okay, yeah.
And then there's Zwani.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's five, ne?
That's four?
No, I said Mango, Memela, Zwani, Nukovic, and Manyama.
Oh, did you say Manyama?
Yeah, that's five. So now, I'm not going to...
rank.
No, I'm not going to rank them, but I just want to speak about the Mango and Memela issue. You know, it's... For Memela to actually play that, I never knew that he can play the position that he's playing now. And
his ability to turn that.
Exactly. So he's got a pass. And that's a position that most players in South Africa, we struggle to find. The player that can play at the 10 and actually turn and be able to give that final pass.
Correct.
We struggle to get that. But
usually parking
that,
backwards or,
you know,
or sideways.
They always play sideways. For the fact that he does this every week, I mean, it's amazing. And of course, Mango, you know, he puts where the mouth in there. Where is? Said he's gonna score 15. He's on 14 already. So he looks like he might take the top goal scorer of the season if he continues the way that he does. But also he needs to stay disciplined on the pitch because he's always forever gets yellow card unnecessarily.
Yeah, you know? He's missing Pirates Nedbank Cup clash on the weekend.
2000 exactly.
Yeah.
So now you could also use Zwane. The reason why Zwane is because I know that whenever he's not playing at Sundowns,
struggle.
A different team, yes. So now for actually to be a player that carries so many superstars in one team, it takes a lot.
Mm.
And for the fact that Zwane is a very mellow guy, quiet guy, goes on about his business.
Disciplined. You know,
it's, yeah, he's got a big heart. I mean, it's we've seen so many players crumble in that situation. Mm. For him to be actually doing that week in, week out, whether it's Champions League. And improving.
Yeah.
Whether it's Champions League, whether it's domestic, is amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I mean, Wanyama, it's I think is important in Kaizer Chiefs' role, the way they play. You know, when and in transition, whatever, after winning the ball, they always look to give the ball to Wanyama. Wanyama is the one that actually starts those moves.
Yeah.
And it's just a pity I've never seen Kaizer Chiefs this season playing when Wanyama is not there.
Yeah.
But it's just that they always look good when Wanyama is on the ball because he drives the ball in. He always finds spaces. That's why he created so many goals. And he's exciting to watch. And yeah, he scored an important goal.
Yeah.
You know, that was a very, very important goal. And Nukovic is amazing.
Mm.
So for me, player of the year should be between Nukovic and Mango. Mm. You know, it'll be very interesting to see for once. Let's have a top goal scorer be a player of the year. The last time we had this was Nosiabonga Nomvet.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be very, very interesting to see foreigners actually coming back and being football of the year. So it'll be very dope.
Yeah, you know? Mango's from?
Malawi.
Yeah. Malawi. And then Nurkovic is Croatian, right? Serbian.
Eastern European.
So the Serbian. Yeah. It's an interesting one. I think for the first time, last season, I felt like Lorch was a shoo-in for the award.
Mm.
Like he was like kind of the runaway favorite. He also won a different award. I think he won player of the season as well. Walked away with like 450,000 from that night.
Mm.
But this time around, I think it's a lot more tight. Like there's
which
there's
is options. Cool. Yeah. I said last week, how many times have we seen the PSL where we're sitting at the halfway mark and there's five or six players that are over 10 goals?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or close to 10 goals. It hasn't happened in years.
Also, it would be so great to see a Football of the Year come in the next season and win it again.
Yes.
Yes.
Consistency. That's big match temperament, which is what we lack in this country.
So you see a Football of the Year once and then boom, gone. Then the next season is another one. You're not even a nominee. At least be a nominee. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Try, fight it. Fight so hard so that you can retain your title. But I guess it's tough, dude.
And to remind everyone, Teko is the right person to call everyone out on that because last player to do it back to back.
Thank you.
Was the great
Teko Modise. I want to thank my family, my trainer.
Big doggy.
Moving on to this week in football history.
Yeah.
So on the 5th of February, 2011, this one is sad for me. Newcastle earned a dramatic point against Arsenal, coming back from 4-0 down.
Mm. Check Tioto finish.
Yes. That monster haunts my dreams.
I remember that.
A lot of people remember it. You know what? When that went in, you know what it reminded me of? Essien's goal against Arsenal.
Mm.
Where it was, you remember that just disgusting, almost like Zidane-esque, but with curve. So many good goals have been scored against Arsenal, man.
So many goals in general.
In general, this one is very sad, so I'm going to speed through it. On the 6th of February, 1958, an airplane containing Manchester United's players and staff crashed in Munich, killing 23 passengers.
Wow.
Obviously, we always look back on the Munich air disaster. I'm sure if Man United were playing this weekend, they would have had some form of moment of silence or something like that. But I think they're on like a bit of a break. It's only Man City that's playing on the weekend.
Winter break, Enforced winter break,
Just ask Jurgen Klopp about the winter break.
Jurgen!
And then this one is a funny one. It's quite a meaty one, but 9th of February, 1979, Nottingham Forest signed a striker, Trevor Francis, to break the £1 million barrier for the first time.
Wow.
Interesting fact, they tried their best to make the transfer fee £999,999 just so that the £1 million mark wouldn't go to his head. But they were stupid because the taxes put the fee over to £1.1 million anyway. Francis ended up being very good for them, scored the winner in the European Cup final and won the League Cup for them, but then injuries hampered
it. Yeah.
So that was the first time they went over £1 million. Trevor Francis.
Interesting.
The GOAT.
The legend.
The GOAT. He's a legend.
The myth.
I think he played for Sheffield Wednesday as well. Hey, he was a...
I have no idea.
Yeah. Good chat. Thanks, Aiden.
You're welcome. And since then, we've gone on to see so many unnecessarily large signings. And Aiden were actually talking about João Félix for Atletico Madrid. Actually, Atletico Madrid as a team.
Yeah.
I think it's
in the last 2.5 seasons on 4 offensive players, Atletico Madrid have spent around 300 million. But collectively, in 159 games, they've only scored 13 goals.
Wow.
So just, wow.
Like,
yeah, bang for your buck, eh?
Yeah, exactly. João Félix, you are. Yeah.
Wow. That's Simeone's tactics for you. You want to sign
Is
all
that
the
why
best.
They want to let him go?
Yeah.
Probably.
Sign all the best attackers and then play defensive.
Yeah, yeah.
Logic.
Yeah. You know? Harrow. System 10-1.
And then do we have some players abroad?
Players abroad on
Sakaladuma
Radio.
Yeah, I love that, eh?
Who's that?
It's actually
she sounds
my girlfriend.
Nice. She sounds very beautiful. Who is?
Yeah, that's my girlfriend Zizi.
Oh, man.
We didn't
man,
no one in the
tickle.
Office. No one in the office
Have some
wanted
respect, to bro.
Oh, I can't say she's beautiful.
How do you know? You haven't even seen her.
She sounds beautiful. Yeah, guys, she sounds beautiful.
She
beauty is a beauty.
She
and
does,
beauty
actually.
Lies in the eyes of the eyes. Come on.
A funny story about that. When we were trying to record, nobody in the office, none of the girls in the office wanted to do it.
Really?
And so, yeah, I just hollered at my girl. I was like, please, can you just say players abroad?
Thank you, Slu.
Thank yeah. you.
Thank you.
Thank you, darling. Right. Players abroad.
Yep.
Kamo Hela Mokocho, Lebo Matiba, Kosi Inke are all injured last weekend, unfortunately.
Damn.
Kurt Abrahams, Danny Amos, Tom Barkhuizen, Darren Keats, Thabo Qele, Tulani Serrero, Mayambela and Lebohang Piri all started for their teams in the respective weekend.
Very nice.
Hendrik Eksteen and Tabang Pete also came on as substitutes. But a notable omission, Keegan Dolly's still out. He would have played against Neymar and Mbappe if he was fit against the PSG, which would have been amazing. What is going on with Keegan?
Yeah, ever since he went there, man, he's been struggling with injuries.
We should maybe do an interview and just check how he's doing. Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should try to get him on the line.
He struggles with injuries, like, and that messes his growth.
He's a hell of a player.
He's a hell of a player, man.
Because it was a recent knock, right? Because I think week before he grabbed a goal. I remember seeing Joe Cran tweet his goal. It was a tap-in, but still, you know, you want those.
Hey, my friend, a goal is a goal.
Goal's a goal, hey?
You need those.
We take it. We take it.
And then staying abroad, let's do the international news desk.
Sounds like carte blanche.
So, Neymar got a yellow card for a rainbow flick. Showboating. Again, we were just discussing Pizzo and Makaringa a couple weeks back. And now Neymar, I need to tell you guys the backstory, like what happened in the tunnel, the arguments though. So Neymar could be heard telling his teammate Marco Verratti, I play football and he shows me a yellow card. Tell him he can't give me a yellow. The referee responded, calm down. And then after the match, Neymar approaches him again, trying to argue. And the ref's just, he just looks him dead in the eye and says, speak French. So there's a part of me that thinks that the ref just doesn't like Neymar. Like,
I'm sure there's a few people that don't. But we spoke about this, Teko, a couple of weeks ago, where the guy's from Brazil.
Mm.
Like, what do you think he's going to do?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And also, if you watch the highlights, there was like 3 Montpellier players on him.
Yeah.
So like, he's backed into a corner. He tries the rainbow flick to get out of it. And then he gets a yellow for that. Like,
it makes no sense.
And also, it's getting
you're trying to tell Neymar not to be Neymar. That's what you're trying to do.
Exactly. I mean, VAR is taking so much. Mm. Now you want to take the flair away.
Mm.
And Neymar's been doing this even when at Barcelona. He was doing this even when he was at Santos, you know. And even in the national team, he still does that. So now if you as a referee trying to stop players from expressing themselves, it becomes disturbing. Because at the end of the day, people are paying to come and watch players. Nobody pays to come and watch the referee.
Mm.
So sometimes the referee wants to be the center of attention. Mm. And most of the time, they're targeting the star players.
Mm. Yeah.
And now it becomes boring at times.
We've got a couple of those refs in the PSL, don't we?
There's a lot of them in the PSL. Eh? You can't even speak to them. At least for the fact that this one said calm down. In the PSL, you get a red card for having to communicate with the referee.
Exactly.
It also comes back to the point where in South Africa, we're saying, hey, Makaringa this and all that stuff. I think there's too many people that I think they've got football manuals.
Mm.
You know? Because at first we're saying
you know, when you're playing the game, you should have fun and enjoy, be expressive, and it's a beautiful game. So if you take the beauty out of everything, then what are we going to watch? Because now I think we're so focused in certain players must play like this. Who are you to tell somebody to play the way?
Correct.
You need to allow players to be expressive and to enjoy the game. You know, Sean, you play the game. I wish at times in my in my playing days, I wish I could have that joy that I had when I was a kid.
Mm.
You know, having that fun. But now you must understand you're in a business situation right now. But still at the end of the day, you need to enjoy what you're doing. And yes, sometimes it's silly. We can agree. But also the fans, when they walk out of there, they need to have like, you know what? Paid 40 rands, you know, it's justified. You know, I love it. And you must understand, Neymar is an inspiration for so many youngsters there. Yeah. So many youngsters after the game, they're actually going out to actually practice what Neymar is doing.
Yeah.
We used to do
that's
that with
Dr. Kumalo. T-shirts, bro.
Exactly. Yeah. We used to do that with doggies. Mm. Dr. Kumalo used to do that. We'll go outside and call ourselves Lekulia. We'll do the same. Jabulani will do the same.
Yeah.
So why now it becomes an issue?
Like, can you imagine this referee in the age of Ronaldinho?
Yeah.
Ronaldinho was hitting rainbow flicks every week.
Yeah. Lifetime suspension.
My friend, he control with his back.
Yeah, just bah. You know what I mean?
Man.
And he would do that with a smile. Okay, because, and he wasn't doing that with a smile. That's how he is. Mm. It's not like he chose to smile. It's just that he's got big teeth. But that's not the point. but it's just that he was a likable guy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think because they're trying to paint Neymar as this hooligan and all that stuff.
Bad boy.
Yeah, and he's not. Guys, why can't we focus on the talent that he has?
Mm.
You know, I think for Neymar, these are the signs, Chief. Come to Barcelona, we're waiting.
Yes, sir.
These are the signs. I mean, there's nothing that he can do. There's no way that Neymar can win a Ballon d'Or playing in France before Mbappe. It's impossible.
Yeah.
They will never, because French people are trying to push Mbappe to that level. Mm. But now Mbappe has an outburst also with the coach. It becomes a problem.
Mm. He's going to Madrid, eh?
Yep.
Madrid. So they might as well bounce. Because, I mean, also, you're playing with your Keegan Dolly's team, you're playing with the all these teams. You only have one probably tough game within the season.
Yeah.
You're 15 points clear.
You're winning 5-0 against Montpellier, you know? Yeah.
And then come Champions League, you meet tough games and then you
might get to the semis.
Then that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I think if Neymar wants to win Ballon d'Or, you want to be in...
He's got to move.
...position to win the World Cup, move, comrade.
Yeah.
Go to Barcelona. Speaking of Barcelona...
Barcelona.
Lionel Messi. Oh, let's start with Eric Abidal, their director of football. Did an interview in the paper where he accused he didn't name players, which I think was Messi's problem with the whole situation.
Got a bit messy.
He said players were not working hard enough under the former coach Valverde. And then Messi, they asked him about it, and he said, when you talk players, you have to give out names, because if not, it gives air to things which are not true.
Mm.
And I think that's speaking to this whole idea that Messi has control and he pulls strings at Barcelona.
Of course he does.
I mean, yeah, sure. But I think he's upset at this idea that maybe he doesn't work as hard as he used to, which I think is a myth, if we're being honest. His work on pitches speaks for itself.
Yeah, right? I find it hard to believe. I think him and Ronaldo, you know, are just a diamond, you know, are just so rare.
Mm.
I'll be very surprised if Messi is not the first one in and the last one out every day.
Mm. Yeah.
Just like Ronaldo is.
Yeah, of course.
I'll be very, very, very surprised.
Of course. I mean, he can't be at the top for so long and not train that way that he's supposed to.
Mm.
It's impossible.
Mm.
And also, if the argument is about who pulls the strings there, would you rather have Messi pulling the strings or
Abidal
pulling the strings? I mean, who's more influential?
Yeah.
Who has brought all the trophies? You know what I'm saying? And I feel like certain things that need to be addressed in the boardroom, like a big team like Barcelona, if there's certain things, you need to call everybody in and, you know...
this is quite childish. It's like a family. It's like little kids.
And today there's a crisis meeting, actually, because of... You know that Messi like has a clause in his contract where he can terminate it anytime he wants to, you know? So probably maybe they're scared of that. And also Messi wants to be in a team that wins. And look at the coaches, look at the system that they're applying. So it becomes...
They're not installing confidence, really.
Exactly, in him. And of course, you want to keep that kind of a player because, number one, he sells tickets. Number two, he makes the team what it is. I mean, there's a lot of business with Messi. So now Abidal comes in. Number one, Abidal had a heart disease. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he almost died.
He almost died when he was playing for Barcelona. He almost died. They won a trophy for him and all the stuff. They did so much for him. Mm. But he couldn't control the ball. So he must keep quiet.
Oh, man.
He was a left back.
This is why I love Teko Madise.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, apparently the meeting went well. Abidal's going to keep his role. But then you start seeing these Messi to Man City rumors. I don't like seeing
that. Nah, it'll never happen. It'll never. It's just that that's the
That'll
problem.
That'll be cool.
That's the problem. Whenever there's issues, there's so many people that runs to the media and speak about what's happening in the house.
Yeah.
You know, if there's in-house issues, solve the in-house issues in-house. Yeah. Don't run to the media, because now you open up that gap that everybody can say whatever they want to. Even in Barcelona, even if the stories, you know, there's always, Dembele never came out and say, guys, but I sleep at 6. Why are you saying I'm sleeping at 4 a.m. in the morning? Yeah. Because they're keeping the issues in-house.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, now you feel like you've been entitled to say something. Number one, when you're at the hospital, he was playing for you.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? It's just that now, because you're in a position of power, you're abusing your power. Don't do that. Because at the end of the day, the business are the players. And people need to fold.
Players are the assets.
Exactly. Yeah. People that are in office, they're just chilling there, not with your shit, but a nicer one. They think that they're in charge. They can say whatever they want for the players. And not understanding that the business, people actually come to the stadium to watch the players. Nobody wants to watch Abidal.
Correct.
Whatever his name is.
Correct. Stay out of the press.
Time for calm. They have a brand new coach. Let's focus on that, please. Yes.
Thank you, Steve.
Do we have time for my starter pack? We do have it loaded up.
I think we can squeeze it in.
Let's squeeze it in.
Which PSL player gave Clayton Daniels the most problems?
When I used to play for Ajax and we have to play against Sundowns. And I had to play against the likes of Surprise Moriri and Tori Alba. You know, that too, when they were at Sundowns, they were giving me problems.
We did discuss this last week. Surprise Moriri, the legend.
Clayton Daniels, massacre.
No, giving me problems, maybe.
Problems. Clayton Daniels.
Ah, the veteran.
But I'm sure a couple of strikers will put Clayton Daniels as one of the hardest defenders to play against.
No, he's annoying.
Yeah,
I think it's one
he
of those.
He gets under your skin.
Yeah, he gets under your skin. He's like that. He's annoying. He was actually getting, and even at the time, at Sundowns were like teammates. He'll do that to you when you're not having a good game. Shut up! You don't want Clayton to come and speak to you. So he's that type of a guy.
He demands
the best, and it's no surprise to see him winning so many trophies at SuperSport.
Excellent. So even though there's been another match for Chipper United,
you and Chipper have.
You love Chipper,
eh?
Hey, look, they won 3-0, you know what I'm saying? But should we touch on the Pirates' victory briefly?
Against Chipper? Yeah, quickly. Chipper, surprisingly, could have gone either way. Mm. They could have got a draw. They could have even got a victory. But deserved win for Pirates. Pirates are playing attractive football. We've spoken about that before.
Yep.
The Zinbauer effect as our... editor's column in the Sokola Duma, Vijay says, and it's very true. What he's brought to Pirates is fantastic. They're actually enjoyable to watch at the moment.
Yeah.
But do we want to speak about Chipper? Nah.
Did you see the Pirates coach on Twitter? There was a video of him dancing in the locker room.
In the locker room, yeah.
Yeah, to some house music.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that with any PSL coach.
It's going to get injured.
No, we've seen that before in other coaches, but not at Orlando Pirates.
Yeah.
That's a team that has so much culture, you know, this streak and all that stuff. For him to be able to do that, it shows the kind of relationship that he has with his players.
Already.
Yeah. So that's why we see certain players are performing to the best of their abilities, because he is that kind of a coach that is approachable.
Yeah. A good example, Ebel Mabaso, I mean, he played, I think, 2 games in 2 seasons.
Yeah.
And now he's
a regular feature.
Absolutely.
And he's improving every game.
Absolutely. That's all you need. Thank you, Zimbabwe.
Hopefully, we'll learn so much from him.
Definitely. Do we have some updates on the leaderboard?
We do. So both Sean and Teko got 2 correct.
There we go.
From the previous weekend. Arrows versus SuperSport, you both got wrong. Amazulu versus Polokwane, you both got right. Leicester versus Chelsea, quite a shock result there, but you both got it wrong. Spurs.
Wow.
Spurs versus City, both got it wrong. And United versus Wolves, you both got it right. So that leaves both of you on 29 out of 46 correct.
Yeah. No one says no to Gaston.
We love that. Where did you find that? That's brilliant.
Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Gaston.
Of course. That is so cool.
We have some saucy Nedbank Cup games this weekend, even though it's the first round. So I think Chiefs have, out of the top 4 teams, Chiefs have the best draw. Mm. They have Royal Eagles, who are a Glad Africa Championship team.
Mm.
But then we also have Sundowns versus SuperSport United.
Mm.
an Orlando Pirates versus Bidvest Wits. Mm. Predictions, gents.
So quickly, I'll go Chiefs win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go SuperSport win because they are cap specialists.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go Pirates win.
Interesting.
Mm. Yep. Actually, I was struggling with this yesterday.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one, you know. I'll give Pirates because of the momentum that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And for Sundowns, because they hardly lose to SuperSport. I'll give it to Sundowns.
Except in cups.
Yeah, but also Sundowns have nothing to show for this season. They need some kind of a trophy. Yeah. It's besides, they've got Telkom, but they always want to have two or something because they definitely see that the league is gone.
Mm.
So I think Sundowns...
What do you say? You said they think the league's gone.
I mean, yeah. They think the league is gone. I mean, the reality also sinks in. Eh?
Mm.
Yeah, you might come out and say whatever that you want to say in the media, but you look at the numbers, the reality. If Chiefs keeps on winning the way they do...
Oh, sure. It's in Chiefs' hands.
Yeah, but... They're having an advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even if it's not by 10 points within the league, but Chiefs has huge advantage. And then Chiefs are playing TS. What is that?
Royal Eagles.
Yeah. I don't even know who they are. No, nothing. I don't. I just don't know who they are.
Yeah.
But Chiefs. Chiefs has also showed us flames once. I actually need to bet. You know the odds of that game?
Mm,
right? Chiefs losing, you win the hundreds and thousands of rands. Eh?
Yeah, same when
come on, they... Chiefs, do us a favor.
Because the last time Chiefs faced a Glad Africa Championship was the Nedbank Cup final last season. They lost to TS Galaxy.
Yeah.
But Chiefs was
no, but Chiefs will win this time around. They're very solid. They're a solid team. So Chiefs, Sundowns, Pirates.
Nice.
Okay, so you're going with Sundowns. Fair enough.
Big three, Chiefs.
Should be interesting.
Big three.
Do we have a ba-ba-boom?
Yes.
Car of the week.
Guys, we are going with Bongile Boy, who is an attacking wide player for Polokwane, ex-Milano, decent player, very underrated. He drives in, he's been seen with the new Audi A3 TFSI. This was voted the third best hatchback in the world after the Mercedes A-Class and the BMW 1 Series. Don't ask me how the BMW 1 Series got in there. But anyway.
Sure.
Yeah, I think the Audi A3 as well is quite a popular car with the football fraternity, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it ranges from 350,000 to 800,000 rand if you're going for the RS3.
Ooh.
Beautiful.
Four pipes.
Beautiful.
And lastly, you know, Sean, I've been down in the dumps, man. I need some motivation, bro.
Here we go then, brother.
Please, man.
Because this one today is actually from me.
Oh, yeah?
Who selected you?
I selected you. Okay? Don't, under any circumstances, second guess yourself.
I like that.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's nice, Shoni.
Thank you, my boy.
So I should go to those football trials this week, and I still have time left.
I just think in the world that's going today, everyone's a bit stressed. There's a lot of transition happening. And just don't doubt yourself.
Yeah.
Believe.
Just believe.
Even though it's tough at times, but
the universe always provides.
Yeah.
I got you. Well, that's how we wrap up episode 13 of The Car Wash. Thank you very much, gents, for coming through.
Thank you, sir.
I think it's been a good one. It's been a good one. Before you hit the last, I just want the no one says no to Gaston.
No one says no to Gaston.
Thank you very much.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is The Car Wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is Ahlangana Khona.